Dear Lord, be with us as we come to you to hear your message. Speak to us today and open our hearts and let nothing get in the way of the message you'd have us to hear. Amen. So we said earlier, today's the first Sunday in Advent. We mentioned Advent means coming. It's a time of preparation, and we're expecting the coming of Jesus Christ. And Advent, as we said, as hope this week, then will be faith, joy, peace, culminates on Christmas with the Christ candle. It's what we're all preparing for, the coming of Christ. And hope is very important. We have a men's Bible study, and we were talking about hope a few weeks ago. So just one little commercial aside, if you're of the male persuasion, 8 a.m. Saturday morning, so we have a great group of guys, gets together, pulls out this 2,000-year-old book and talks about it. The guys aren't quite 2,000 years old, and they're actually a lot of fun. So I encourage you to come check us out some Saturday morning. I think you'll enjoy it. But that aside, we were talking about hope, and we were saying how important hope is. You know, if you have hope, you can get through a lot. My son was born 2.5 months premature. And what we learned in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit, was the nurses told us, we have the medical ability to keep the babies alive, but you need to give them the will to live. You need to come and hold them and cuddle them. You need to give them that hope. You know, we need hope in our marriages, in our relationships. They go south when we get to the point that we just have no more hope that we can fix this. I've never been a soldier. I've never been a POW. So I can't say from firsthand experience, but the accounts I've read of people in those situations, it was hope that kept them going. The hope that I can get through here. The hope of the people back home waiting for me. When that hope is gone, that's when suicide rates go up and we just are at a loss. So hope, the advent of hope is a very important one, and that's the hope we have that Jesus gives us. So it's very appropriate, by the way, in a time of coming, that we kick it off with John the Baptist. The scripture this morning was about John the Baptist. And John had a purpose. He had a purpose to talk about who's coming. Something's coming. Someone's coming. Here's a message. There's a new way that he's going to open up and reveal to us. You know, back in the day, when somebody famous or somebody important came to town, they didn't just walk into town and show up and have a press conference like today. The king was coming, a governor was coming, a high official was coming. He sent ahead of time a herald into the town. Hear ye, the great Caesar Augustus will be coming to town. I don't know exactly what they said, but it was something. It was an announcement. It was a herald. The guy who went forth first to say somebody important is coming. And that's what John the Baptist was. Because not just the king was coming, but the King of Kings was coming. And he's saying, hear ye, somebody important, someone really special is coming. And it's my job to kind of tell you about that. John the Baptist was kind of a unique person to bring us a unique message. You think about the contrast. Here's what we know about John. He was a guy given up to be a Nazarite priest. He was rough, wild. He lived in the wilderness. He wore camel's hair, which was itchy. He ate crickets and locusts and wild honey. I can imagine them stuck in his beard. As he would stand up, and unlike people who are eloquent in speaking today, he screamed. He was a voice that said, screaming in the wilderness, repent, somebody is coming. Here's one of the things that it said. He said, prepare a way, for the Lord is coming. Clear the road for him. The valleys will be filled, and the mountains and hills made level. The curves will be straightened and the rough places made smooth. And then all the people will see that salvation is sent from God. Which one of us doesn't have some hills in our life that we'd like leveled out a little bit? Which one of us has not had some life throw us some curves that we'd love to have straightened out? Which one of us, any of us, hasn't had some rough places we would love to have smoothed? And John the Baptist, dressed in his camel hair and all with honey and crickets in his beard, is saying, somebody's coming. I'm showing you a new way. And what a new way. I mean, compare and contrast John the Baptist to the priests in the temple at the time, who stood in their eloquence in their fine robes and in the temple and said, God is who we worship, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I wasn't there. But, you know, it was such a contrast that John was saying, I got a new way. Something new is coming. Something exciting is happening. And that's what we celebrate here this Christmas. We're celebrating the coming of something new. Prepare the way, level out those hills, straighten out those curves. You know, in John the Baptist, it's interesting. Do you know in all the four Gospels, John the Baptist is mentioned in every single one of them? Now, you know what's interesting? The Christmas story only comes in 2 out of 4. Gospel of John doesn't carry it. And one of the others. Look it up. But John the Baptist, the herald, the guy running before, hits all four of them. And why is that important? Because it's important that the King of Kings gets a proper announcement. But since John is talking about the King of Kings of Jesus, we're not going to spend this morning focused on John the Baptist. Let's talk about who it is that John the Baptist wanted us to hear about. It's about Jesus. John came to introduce Jesus. He said, John answered their question saying, and this is, you heard Elisa read this morning, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming who's greater than I am. So much greater than I am that I'm not even worthy to be a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The book of John tells us this. John himself was not the light. He was only a witness to the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was going to come into the world. So today, let's talk about that light. Let's focus on Jesus. You know, it's Christmas comes, and it's good to get a new message. What's the message we're getting about Christmas outside of these walls? It's about consumerism. You got to buy more. We're all in a hectic place. We're running from party to party. And I don't mind a good party. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There's great things to celebrate at Christmas. If you want to have, you know, some good cookies and pie and yummies and have yourself a mug of hot chocolate or whatever other libation gets you smiling, hey, go, I'm all for that. But we have to be careful that doesn't become our focus, because out there, that's what the focus is becoming more and more. A little guy in a red suit piling up gifts and all that stress and hecticness. And we lose the real gift in all the gift wrap, even when we walk in here sometimes. We come to church, and we don't come to church because of the stained glass or because of how beautiful it is. We come here to worship God. We've got all these wonderful Christmas decorations, which are great. We should. It's a special time. We want to celebrate. But there's nothing magic in a pine tree with lights on it. They just point us to the real gift. Let's not lose the real gift amidst the gift wrap. So let's talk some more about that gift. You've heard it said up front here from our last pastor and our current pastor multiple times, Jesus loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, there's a couple other phrases like that that I just love. We had a guy, Barry Carpenter, who we spent some time with, who was a pastor from United Methodist pastor in Desdin, Florida. And he used to say, Jesus loves you and you are never alone. I love that. You know, Christmas, we talk about the word Emmanuel. Actually, the recessional will be Emmanuel. Do you know what Emmanuel means? God is with us. That's powerful to me. So we are going to sing or learn about God is with us. That's so important. Jesus loves us and offers us a wonderful plan for our life. The Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you hope. And that hope is what we celebrate this Christmas. So what did Jesus say about himself? Let's go right to the source. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, And I'm going to quote a verse that to some degree, it's a shame. John 3:16. The only reason I say it's a shame, it's been so quoted and misused and on signs everywhere. Sometimes people see John 3:16 and just go, that again. But you know what? Set that aside for a moment. Set aside the baggage. And let's just listen to the words of that verse. The reason that's so often quoted, there is such beauty in that. For God so loved the world, so loved Judy and Andy and Michelle and Bob and Bill and Bruce and Denver. So loved each and every one of us individually. So loved us that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's a Christmas message, people. That's Christmas. That's the gift that every one of us gets to unwrap just by believing. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to fight for it. We don't have to go through cash register lines and pull out a credit card. It's a gift that Jesus is handing to us. Love that's so powerful that God came here to earth. God said, this world is messed up. My people can't live up to all the laws that are in this book. By following the Old Testament and all those laws, we'll never get there. We'll never be perfect enough. Because I got to find a way. I got to find a way to connect back with those people. How can I do that? And he says, I got an idea. I'm going to take myself and I'm going to wrap the infinity of my being into a tiny little baby because I'm going to live the life all these people live. I'm not just going to be some God on high way up there like Zeus on Mount Olympus playing games. I'm going to come down here. I'm going to live amongst them. And I'm going to go to school with them. And I'm going to skin my knees and stub my toes. I'm going to work in my father's shop. I am going to go through the same things these people do. And then I'm going to take their punishment. And I'm going to die on that cross because I want to pay the price. I love them so much, I will sacrifice myself to reconnect with them. That's a pretty darn good Christmas gift. That's a gift that we celebrate. Here's why Jesus said he came. Again, the book of John, chapter 3, 17, 18. God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. There is no judgment awaiting those who trust him. I love that. Sometimes we get all caught up with God and we think, oh, he's all about fire and brimstones and do this and don't do that. No, God said, I didn't come here to condemn you, to tell you what you're doing wrong. I came here to save you. And his forgiveness is one size fits all. And that's important. I've been kind of a plus size guy my whole life. Here's what I've learned. If I see something that says one size fits all, it might as well say, this doesn't fit you, Bruce. One size doesn't fit all, and now some clever marketing people start to say things like, one size fits most. How corny is that? Here's the good news. Jesus' forgiveness is one size fits all. There is no sin too big, no mistake, no misguided, no getting off the path that is so erroneous, it doesn't fit you. Oh, but Bruce, you don't know what I did. You don't know the stupid things I've done in my life and how it doesn't matter. God said, my forgiveness is for everyone, no matter how big. And I care about every hurt of yours, no matter how small. One size forgiveness truly does fit all. Why else did he come? He said, I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly. Jesus wants us to have an abundant life. He didn't come here to make us slaves or little ants and run around do his bidding. He wants us to have life. He wants to connect with us. And he has a way to do it. And here's something that if you ever hear me talking, I often say this, but it's worth repeating. I run around on my travels sometimes and talk to different people, and sometimes we get into conversations about our faith and God and religion. And here's something I hear a lot. Maybe you hear it too sometimes. Well, you know, Bruce, it's great for you to believe what you believe about God. That's okay. And I can believe something different, and that's okay too. You know, and if Frank over here wants to believe something different, and that's how he believes about God. That's all okay. Well, that's a great theory. Unfortunately, that's not true. Let me give an example. First off, just because I said it doesn't make it true. So let me just be clear about that. I'm not saying I'm the final authority, but what I am saying is God is who God is. I don't get to define him. He doesn't get to define him. She doesn't get to define him. We have to understand God. He is who he is. It's like gravity. Suppose I said to you, here's what I know about gravity. You step off the cliff, gravity pulls you down, you go splat at the bottom. And somebody said, Bruce, you know, that kind of makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't like to think of gravity that way. I like to think gravity is just more free-flowing and loving for all of us. And if I step off a cliff, gravity's still going to love me, and I'm just going to fly away. Well, and if I want to believe that, that's okay. And if you want to believe you go splat, that's okay too. Well, guess what? Let's take a poll. If that person steps off the cliff, do they fly away? Raise your hand. And that's my point. Gravity is what gravity is. We don't get to redefine it just because it makes us feel better. And God is who God is. And we don't get to redefine him just because it makes us feel differently or better or whatever. It's up to us to understand him. But here's the good news about God. He is a loving God. He said, I came not to condemn, but to save. I came to give life abundantly. I will die myself to bring us all together again. That's a God I can say, hallelujah, Merry Christmas, and I can celebrate about. As we wrap up this morning, I think about that. God wants a relationship with us. He wants to connect with us. We're in the season of Advent, and as you're coming into Christmas, I want you to prepare your hearts for that gift, for that real Christmas. God wants to give us hope, hope for the future, and he's got the best Christmas gift ever just waiting for us, and that's a relationship with him. We're going to do a couple things over the course of the next whatever time we got left, 15 minutes or so. It's going to be a couple times we're going to pause for you to reflect, because this ultimately is a conversation between you and our Almighty Father. It's between you and Jesus, and we're going to give you a few moments to pause and think about that. Where are you at in that relationship? Because Jesus is up here with his hands out going, oh, take my gift. I want you to have this. I want to be a part of your life. If he's been a part of your life in the past and you've kind of slid away, come back. He's waiting for you. If you're still well connected with him, use this time to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the love you have for me, and I am so excited to share this day with you. And if you've never made that connection, you've always been on the outside going, it's not for me. What's that all about? Take this time to connect with you. You have a loving God who wants nothing more than to be in your life. So we're going to pause. Give you a moment for you to pray, for you to talk to God. If you are in that last category where you're not sure, if you've never made that one-on-one connection with God, there are no magic words that you have to say to get there. You'll hear some preachers talk about the four spiritual laws, which are all valid, and people talk about this, you can do this or do that, confess our sins. All those things are valid, but God's not looking for a magic formula. It's not like I'm going, if I got to get this box to open, I got to say abracadabra, hocus pocus, humpity rumpity, bum bum bum. And if you say it just right, the box opens. Jesus said, just come to me. If my son came to me and wanted something, or my daughter came to me and wanted something, and they asked me, I wouldn't go, yeah, I wanted to give that to you, but you know, you got the phraseology wrong. If you'd only said it differently, you could have it. No, I have a gift and I want to give it to them, and boy, it doesn't matter how they ask. And that's what Jesus is saying. I got a gift, I want to give it to you, it doesn't matter how you ask. But if you're not sure how, if you look in your bulletins, there is an insert. One side says an Advent prayer, the other side says, in fine print, it's about the cross. Just look at that Advent prayer. We're going to pause a moment. I'm going to give you a chance, if you want, if you've never made that connection with Jesus, if you've never accepted that gift, just silently in your own heart, whatever words you want, or you can pray this prayer with us. So just on your own, just quietly, let's go to a time of prayer. And if you want to follow along in your own hearts, just quietly, as I pray this prayer. Dear God, I don't want to waste another Christmas where the focus of the season is on holiday parties, gifts under the tree, and some guy in a bright red suit. I realize that my relationship with you is what is most important this Christmas. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, so I could get to know you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for reaching out to me all my life, even when I didn't know it. I realize I need you to set me free from sin, from myself, and from all my habits, hurts, and hang-ups that keep me from having life to the fullest. Be the Lord of my life and save me by your grace. Save me from all the ways I have missed the path that you had planned for me, and save me for your purpose. I want to love you, trust you, and become what you made me to be. Thank you for creating me and choosing me to be part of your family. Right now, by faith, I accept the gift, your son. Let this Christmas be a time of peace for me as I open my heart to accept your most precious gift, your gift of salvation and redemption. In your name I pray. Amen.